When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today is Sunday, November 12th, and this is Celtics Beat on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics. I'm Adam Kaufman. Episode 545 features Mass Live's Brian Robb.
And I'm Evan Valenti. Today's show is powered by FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/Boston. New customers receive $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in. New edition of Celtics Beat. Want to welcome everybody to what is obviously your favorite Celtics podcast, or you're just such a huge fan of the Winning Plays podcast, also part of the CLNS Media Network, that you cannot get enough of Brian Robb, and you simply want him wherever you can find him, and we have him here. So either way, whichever it is, column A, column B, we're happy to have you here. We're happy to have you here, B-Rob. How are you, buddy? How you been?
I'm good, man. And I don't know if you guys might have missed the update on Winning Plays now. It has turned into Still Potable. I'm teaming up with myself and Jay King and Sam Packard. Whoa. We're doing a daily Celtics podcast now that just started in the last couple of weeks. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's under the radar. We didn't do anything too big with it yet, but it's, if people want to check it out, you can check in the Winning Plays feed for it. But then we're also going daily on Patreon. So you go patreon.com/stillpotable. You can get us 5 days a week off. And so you get Celtics Beat in the weekend and you get Still Potable the rest of the week for your full Celtics full.
So are you that I'm getting in the weeds now? Are you still part of CLNS or have you?
That's the plan. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Make sure that, we still have ample supply of Celtics podcasts under the CLNS media umbrella.
We're hopeful to be that's we're figuring that out now, but that's. Hopefully where we'll end up.
Good. Glad to hear it. I don't really know why. It's actually sort of ass backwards when you think about it, because we will, we'll have B-Rob, we'll have, I don't know, you name it. Like any number of people that seem to have Celtics podcasts that will come on this show, like Barrett has his with The Ringer, like people that are frequent contributors to the program. Gary Washburn, also part of CLNS, he's got the A-List podcast. We have Sherrod on a bunch of times. Bobby Manning, Garden Report guys. That's for whatever reason, Corrales, who's obviously not part of CLNS, but he's got the Locked On podcast, and then Jay King or Jam, those guys who have had their various incarnations of podcasts over the years. We don't really have those guys, and there's no like reason for it. We like them. They're good guys. We get along well. We got to mix them into the rotation, especially if King and Jam are coming over to CLNS.
Yeah. I mean, we got to roll out the red carpet, the welcome wagon, so to speak, for those gentlemen. It's always nice sharing the space with everybody, but everybody knows those three individuals, help make up what is an excellent job of people that cover this team, whether it's people, boots on the ground, at TD Garden, on the road with them, going daily like Corrales does, or whether it's, trying to be a little quirky and funny like my man Sam the Jam Packard. He's just one of my favorite followers of all time, and Jay King brings a little bit of both. So it's like, it's between that and everybody at CLNS, we got everybody covered. I mean, dude, what do you think about the plethora?
Forsberg, I didn't even mention Forsberg. That's another one, too. He comes on all the time.
The plethora of options that you have for just quality content revolving around this team is really unbelievable. Like, I don't think any other team outside of the Lakers has just the amount of content crew that the Celtics have. I mean, literally our entire network's like dedicated to it. So it's pretty impressive. I think the Lakers are up there. The Warriors are up there for sure. But in terms of like just craving content from a certain individualistic basketball team, Celtics are way up there for sure. Content kings, baby. Content kings. Yeah,
then again, those jerks don't have us on their podcast, so I guess we probably shouldn't feel bad, right? With what Evan just mentioned, B-Rob, it is interesting. Do you ever think about the fact that you know, you can have all of these. I mean, Jesus, like we could probably name a dozen Celtics podcasts just among people that we know. Never mind all of the ones that exist from people that we don't know or don't work with that obviously have decided to just launch their own Celtics pods. There, I mean, really, what if you want to discover all of them, just like search Drew Carter's name, because he popped on all of them when he got the job to supplant or succeed Mike Gorman, obviously. But the it's like, do you ever think about the fact that, man, like if this team blew, if this team wasn't where it is in its you know, chase for banner 18, if it just like if this was
they're the Patriots,
if it was
no, that'd be great.
I mean, sure, but I mean, I'm thinking like if it was like 2014, you know, where they were, Brad, you know, had just gotten the job, you know, he's a year in at that point anyway, and you know, they're coming off a 25 win season. Basically, it was when Celtics at 7 launched on the Sports Hub.
You're right.
You know, can
those are great shows, Kyle. I mean, I think it's. To get to your point, your question, I think where you're at is like this. I think it's a lot of it. Obviously, the team being good certainly helps. But like, I also think it's a very, and I think a lot of NBA fan bases are like this. Just a very committed fan base in general, and a lot of like smart fans, a lot of passionate fans. Back now, obviously, and also back when they were, you know, Brad Stevens was just starting, and they were starting to jumpstart the rebuild 10 years ago during the Celtics at 7 days. So it's like, I think you're seeing. You know, the evolution of it as through time, but there's certainly, I think it speaks more just to the fact that there is a very large passionate fan base all over the country and the world, obviously. And, the people were trying to feed them with,
so they're out to a 7-2 start. And, you know, the last couple games have been wildly entertaining, a ton of fun, obviously. Blowout win of the Raptors, wasn't so good for a parlay that I had built. Blowouts never are in gambling. the Nets game, that in-season tournament game, I don't know why I put in quote fingers. It is the in-season tournament. Even I probably put in quote fingers because I just don't care, but we'll get to that. Coming off a couple of narrow losses, the overtime defeat to the Timberwolves and then falling in Philadelphia as well. People were starting to, you know, raise the red flags. Oh, this there's this issue with the bench, or obviously ball movement, which I actually do think is an issue, or you know what a minutes look like when Tatum is on the bench, and how the lack of production looks at that point. There are all sorts of different things, obviously, but at 7-2 right now, what are your big takeaways? Are you surprised by anything that you've seen with this new look group since we're catching up with you here for the first time since the season began?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're honestly ahead of schedule in terms of how they look right now on both ends of the floor, to be honest. They had a couple blips there on the road against good teams in Minnesota and Philly. So it's easy this past week. There's obviously a lot of attention on that. But you look at how they play in those games, how they shot in those games, and it's like, all right, they shot like 38% and they still had a chance to win both of those games. So that's a situation, I guess more of the Minnesota one than the Philly one. But to me, they're third in defensive rating, third in offensive rating right now. And you talk to these guys in the locker room and they're just telling us, yeah, like we are just like, we have so much more room to grow right now. Like our chemistry is going to be so much better. So there's been rough spots here or there, but the Porzingis fit, I think, has been tremendous. I think Drew Holiday, the sacrifice in terms of doing whatever the team needs on any given night has been very good as well. Knowing how he is as a player, that's not a big surprise. But all things considered, comparing to where the rest of the East is, comparing to where new splashy additions are like in Milwaukee and the Clippers of Harden and Lillard, like there's a lot to like in terms of where this team is right now, I think.
Hard not to agree with that, Kaufman. It's just really been... Now, even like we're talking about like at the end of games, just process stuff, which obviously
you text me during games and you're just in ecstasy.
Well, for the most part, yeah. I mean, how could you not be? They're winning by 30, you know, points a game every other game. It's just outrageous. And, you know, there's some, you know, again, at the end of games against, you know, against Minnesota, especially against the Sixers as well, there's some process stuff that needs to be ironed out and worked out. And I think if you have concern about that, it's okay. I think it's fair to be concerned because it looks like it normally does for the past couple of years. You know, the Tatum on off splits, This has been a problem. This is now the third straight year of this problem where the Celtics took Tatum's on the floor. They're unbelievable. He's off the floor and they kind of crater. This is like the third straight year of that. So, you know, these are things that we've seen have been problems. The idea being that bringing in some new fresh blood with Porzingis and Holiday is going to help fix that. And we, you know, I think people need to give them some time to figure that out. But when it looks good, baby, it looks good, man. The Porzingis thing is just revolutionary only because they hunt mismatches now. It's really fun to watch this team hunt. Like that, it's gone from a team that, you know, relied on the perimeter a lot, attacking the rim a lot, you know, for kick out threes and all that stuff. This team instead just hunts. If they have any size advantage, they just go after it. And I think it's awesome. They do it quickly. Porzingis has been just fun to watch him pick on smaller guys. Tatum's got people in torture chamber. The offense, when it's really clicking, is unbelievable. And defensively, they're way, way further along than I would expect, considering they have so many new pieces and faces in that core five. Again, 7-2, two losses to really good teams. I love Minnesota, and Philly's been really great. So you can't, again, could they be perfect? Sure. But you know what? 9 games in, you got to feel positive.
So going forward here, I guess, you know, let's, I don't want to turn this thing negative. I think the positives are overwhelming. We could sit here and recite all of them, but why not be a little bit constructive, obviously, B-Rob? At 7-2 and, you know, some interesting tests coming up. You know, you got the Knicks, again, who are not a bad team. They're not a great team. They're kind of middle of the pack, obviously. This game is on Monday. Might very well be tonight if you're listening to this on Monday morning. We're recording here on a Sunday. At Philadelphia, at Toronto, these are games that are happening before next weekend anyway, so it's kind of a busy week, and obviously a road trip coming up here, the four-gamer that includes stops in Memphis and Charlotte. What are some of the things that you think this team has to work on to sort of alleviate any concerns that people do have right now that are within their control? You can always worry about injuries and things like that, but things that are within their control, where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I think you can certainly like a couple areas. I think the bench situation is something that's worth keeping a close eye on. I mean, we know like Payne Pritchard's had a rough start. He had a nice game Friday, but by and large, he's been down. Al Horford's shooting has been off a little bit as well to start the year. So how much of that you want to say, oh, it's like a 10 game sample size, a little slump to start versus like, all right, are these areas that, you know, do they need more firepower help of the bench eventually, if, you know, looking ahead to potential additions there? But then you look at, you know, guys like Sam Hauser, I think has been, you know, played great. He's been the most consistent guy there right now, which I think is huge to have one of those gut. But, you know, you go down like 9 through 15 and it's kind of been trick or treat for that stuff. And so that, to me, that's like not a huge deal at this point since it's early and everyone's healthy. But I do think part of the equation here is trying to plan for, okay, injuries are going to happen. Like there's injury prone players still on this roster or guys that you just want to rest regardless. And do we have all our, you know, holes filled on that front? And so trying to figure that out, figure out more of what these guys can do at the bottom of the roster in the next couple of months before those decisions are made, I think is certainly a big part of the equation there, since early on, a lot of them haven't, you know, especially a guy like Brissett, you know, Lamar Stevens has only gotten a couple chances, but by and large, I think the bench is underwhelmed as a whole.
House is the one that I expect Peyton Pritchard to rebound. He, you know, shooter's got to shoot. Obviously he's going to find his rhythm. It's going to happen. He's, as we talked about plenty in the offseason, he's playing 20 minutes a game. I wouldn't be surprised if that number climbs a little bit, even he stays in that 20 to 25 window with regularity, especially, you know, when inevitably guards miss time, Derek White missed time with the birth of a child, and, you know, guys are going to miss time for whatever personal reasons or injuries. And so it's only going to up potential Peyton minutes. But Hauser's the one that I spent so much time, B-Rob, any listeners of this show know, I spent so much time last year talking about how, man, when you lost to the Warriors, you really could have used a guy like Hauser off the bench. I mean, he could have potentially shot you out of some of those situations where the offense was stagnant. And fine, he's a rookie. He didn't really play during the regular season, didn't get that opportunity. You just sort of accept that. But last year was the opportunity to play him enough so that when the playoffs rolled around, he wasn't cold. He wasn't lacking confidence. He wasn't, you know, afraid of the moment, whatever it may be. And he could go out there and at least potentially be that guy. He could give you the opportunity to be that guy. And I don't know if this is going from coach to coach to coach, if it was, you know, Joe didn't really trust him or just whatever. He was not part of the rotation come the playoffs. It just didn't happen. And they really could have used him when they were eliminated by Miami. So now he's playing and he's shooting well. He has a little bit of a slow start, but he's shooting almost 50%, 45% from three. He's playing about 20 minutes a game. He's averaging about 10 points. You would think he's a fixture in the rotation simply because they lack depth as compared to last year. They're much more top heavy than they were in previous seasons. And that's fine. That's good. It's a different type of roster construction. They're trying something that is more in line with what the rest of the league does. And I like it. I'm good with it. But can I believe that Hauser is going to play when they actually need him versus, no, we're just going to have a six-man rotation. You know, if we've got all our guys and Hauser, you're not part of it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question because I feel like Hauser played this well to start last year, too, in the regular season.
Right.
And then, you know, he kind of hit a blip midway through the season. And I think his trajectory last year kind of was like the rest of the team where, like, they came out great and then it was like, you know, they didn't build on anything in the second half of the year. And that kind of obviously showed itself in the playoffs in terms of, you know, some bad losses, some really tough situations, and then the Miami situation. We don't really have to rehash, but yeah, I think it's a huge question, Colby. Like, can, when push comes to shove, is he going to be able to play 10 or 15 minutes off the bench in the playoffs? Like, maybe not every game, but like enough to the point where he can A, hit the shots he needs to. And he played 15 games in last year's playoffs. I'm looking at it now, but he only averaged 7 minutes in those games. So like a lot of those were just like garbage time appearances.
Yeah.
And
like, can't he beat Duncan Robinson or even a little bit better than that?
Exactly. Like, and the theory is, I mean, in year three, as he grows into it, the hope is like, yes, because it's like he is the perfect part to have around a Jason Tatum in terms of like he stays in his lane. He doesn't take dumb shots. He doesn't turn over the ball and he hits threes. So that's the guy you want to make teams think twice about double teaming Jason Tatum or just think twice about giving more attention to Porzingis as opposed to whatever there. So whether he can earn Joe Mazzulla's trust here over the course of the next couple months. And I think it's going to be huge because if not, then that's certainly an area you're going to have to be like, all right, do we have to get someone better that we trust at the trade deadline in this kind of, you know, 3-4-ish type role off the bench if we don't think Hauser's the guy when push comes to shove?
If you look at some of his splits from last year, too, I pulled it up and it's like, yeah, he started the year on fire in October, 56% from three on three a game. He only really had a dip in the middle of December and January. It was 28% from three in December, 31% from three in January, then finished off February 49% on five attempts a game, March 42.6, so 43, and then April 43% on 8.8 attempts a game. That's just four games in April, so it doesn't really mean a lot. Like he
a lot of attempts, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about consistency for him. If he can stay consistent, I mean, obviously there are going to be shooting woes throughout the year. It's just it's a game of variance, but like he is a tremendous shooter. And if he's given the opportunity to play with these guys, he's going to have wide open looks all the time. I mean, all the time. And as an open 3-point shooter, he's very good. I think Mazzulla's going to have to, you know, and maybe it's a little bit pandering to other guys on the roster last year. You know, you got to play smart, you got to play Grant, or like whatever. I don't know. I'm not inside the walls.
It was crowded. It was crowded rotation last year especially the playoffs.
I think it's interesting, Kaufman. I thought it was interesting, you know, the first couple of games, and I think it's still very. It seems like Hauser's role is pretty set in stone right now. I mean, you know, the first couple of games, he was one of the first guys off the bench. He is solidified in that top eight, top seven. So at this point, I would say, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be relied on throughout the year. For him, it's just going to be a matter of being consistent and trying to make sure that he gets, you know, the process is good. Whether the shot's going or not, you know, that's going to come and go, but the process being good. Can that be consistent through 82 games? Because he's going to have plenty of opportunity, right? Somebody's got to come in between the Stevenses and the Brissettes and the Hausers and the, you know, We'll see what happens with Jordan Walsh down in Maine. There are minutes to be played on the wing because they have two absolute stud wing guys that can't play 48 minutes a game. There's going to be opportunities for these guys to play. Hauser is by far the leader in the clubhouse for the most reliable wing player they have. And it's just about him, you know, just staying consistent. In year three, you know, he's had some ups, he's had some downs, but it's going to be about, you know, staying level. And I think, you know, if Missoula doesn't pull the plug on him too early like he has in the past, I think it's going to be all right. I'll say this though, Kaufman, his role is going to be vitally important for the reasons you discussed. You know, he's going to make life easier for everybody in an ideal world, right? Offensively, at least.
A lot of great stuff from B-Rob. We'll get right back to him, talk more C's. But first, Ev, of course, we got to thank the fine people that make this show possible.
Yeah, today's show is powered by FanDuel. Score earliest NFL season and the NBA season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bets. $150 if your team wins. Just on the money line. I've been posting different money line bets throughout the week. Make sure you pay attention to my Twitter page. We'll be giving out winners for these exact situations. Money lines only. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get on the action than right now. And the app, folks, on your phone, so easy to use. It is a complete joke how easy it is to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. And I was talking to Kaufman a little bit pre-show about this particular segment of our show. I usually give out the money line winners, but what we're going to do today is instead of giving you a money line winner, because I normally would just give you the Celtics because they've just been killing teams, but they're playing the Knicks on Monday night. The Knicks traditionally play the Celtics very tough, especially under Thibodeau. So we're going to leave that alone. I'm going to tell you again, with your bonus bets that you win, thanks to a money line bet, that buck 50, I told you Jokic early season, get in on that number. I think it was like plus 360, maybe plus even 400 at some point. Preseason to win MVP, Jokic already on to plus 250. All right? Didn't take long for that to go. Yeah, Nikola Jokic, Kaufman, good at basketball. What do you know? I'd still throw a little bit there. The Luka piece, though, undeniable, plus 450. An easy one there. I think if you bet on Joel Embiid at plus 750, you're lighting money on fire. Same with Tatum. Sorry, folks. Too many good players on the team. Yep. But I love Curry plus 1,100. Still hanging around there. So just some ideas to sprinkle a little bit on Jokic, Doncic, and Curry for MVP on FanDuel. Make sure, folks, you get in on the action today. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston. Kick off the NFL season and the NBA season. FanDuel, the official partner of the NFL. 21 plus in present Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame but on a wager required. First online real money wager only. First deposit required of $10. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Excellent. Let's get back to the show. B-Rob, something that Evan and I have been texting about with our buddy Seth, who comes on from time to time. I think you've met him or at least talked to him before. We alluded to it before, the Jason Tatum on-off splits and, you know, why it is, and this is not a Joe thing specifically, this happened with Ime, it happened with Brad, as these guys have, you know, grown into the players they are now, but especially now, why there's this insistence to stagger the Jays and play them just not as frequently together, and how much more dominant, how much better a team they are, which is not rocket science, when both the Jays, Tatum and Brown, are on the floor together, you know, like, Seth sends along Jalen and Porzingis with Tatum on the net rating, Ev? Plus 28. Jalen and Porzingis with Tatum off.
Yeah.
Minus 7.
Yeah. The three of them on the floor together is insane. And when Tatum's not there, it's not nearly as good.
So I know you're not going to play him 48 minutes a game. You're not going to play him 40 minutes a game. This isn't, you know, the Jordan era or something like that. But you would think there could be a little bit more overlap between these guys beyond obviously starting minutes than we're seeing right now. It seems like they're just perfectly comfortable to have a mix of the starters with a guy or two off the bench and have Tatum with an entire bench unit at times, just because obviously he's capable of carrying that. And that's great. He's a superstar. He's an MVP candidate, but are they necessarily, not that I know better than Joe, but I'm a consumer and I'm within my right to question, are they at their best? Are they, you know, coaching their smartest in terms of the way they're working these rotations right now?
I mean, I think there is a lot of experimentation now with Porzingis and Drew in the fold. And I don't think, you know, they've settled on the perfect, you know, plan for that. And I do think there's a point, Coppin, that you're getting to here is like especially when we get to bigger games in the playoffs, obviously, like what is the best course of attack there of like maximizing those two together and like playing off of each other. But when you have four stars, I don't know, Derek White may be considered a star by the end of the season if he keeps up some of these numbers. We'll see, like, we'll say, you know, 4.5 there, whatever. Like, you want to help change the deck there, like, maybe we're just going to see a lot of, like, Jalen, Porzingis, and Drew Holiday lineups. And because Tatum has shown himself capable of with that carrying that bench unit with the plus-minuses for years to come. Like, the sample size is there. It's like, okay, Tatum is a great passer. Tatum's a great shooter. Put some shooters around him. Without Horford, he's going to be fine. He's going to kick the crap out of other second units. If you're winning games with that, I have no problem with that. Which it has by and large been fine the last few years here, where if things start to go awry there, or just like that combination with Brown and Porzingis doesn't get better, then yeah, I think you have to look at it being like, okay, how do we have to tinker with this more? How can we better, you know, maximize Tatum's minutes and maybe get him, bring the best out of Jalen more, if that's like ultimately what we want to be a priority for this, you know, to get to a title, like we need that. So that's, to me, that's going to be a lot of experimentation all year, but I'll be curious. I think that is something for, you know, if you're a Celtics fan, that's definitely worth watching to see how that kind of plays out, because I think there is still a lot unsettled there in terms of what's the best, you know, lineups on any given night and even from quarter to quarter.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a lineup. I was just going through it really quickly to try and find a lineup. What happened? Like, what's the best? Because Seth has floated out the just play the Jays together all the time and stop trying to stagger them. You know, can they survive with a Porzingis, Holiday, White, Hauser, and X? You know, Al Horford. What does that lineup look like? Can they survive in those minutes? Where are they weak? Where are they strong? I mean, that team can spread the floor, no question. You know, can Holiday and White and Porzingis put together enough playmaking and offensive like creation to keep that line afloat? Because obviously you could space the floor with five out. Horford can obviously space the 3-point line. Porzingis is outrageous. But you know, I guess the shot creation is the only question there. Could between White, Porzingis, and Holiday, could you get enough on the offensive side of the ball? Defensively, I mean, obviously you're not going to always win every minute of every game, but can you stay afloat? Can you keep it close? Like, that's the thing Denver tried to figure out last year, is like, okay, the Jokic minutes, we're killing teams. The non-Jokic minutes, it's not great. So how do we shorten the gap a little bit by bringing those non-Jokic minutes closer to the Jokic minutes? Because once they solve that problem, everybody's dead. So can the Celtics figure out a way to do the same thing and maybe experimenting with both of them off, trying to figure out a five that works with, you know, or surrounding the three stars, quote unquote, that they have? That's a question Mazzulla's got to answer by the end of the year. And again, the on-off stuff with Tatum has been a problem for three. This is now the third straight year of this problem. So at some point, there's got to be some sort of, and this is why the regular season is important. They're going to experiment a little bit, but there's got to be an answer to this question. Otherwise, if it's not on the roster right now, they got to figure out who that guy's going to be come February.
Yeah, without a doubt. But it's a good point. I mean, like, I don't think we've seen much of the Drew, Porzingis, no Jalen, like, minutes, period. I mean, I'm sure they've played together with Spurs, but I feel like that's a lineup we haven't seen much of. And I do think, if Tatum, I think in the past, it made a lot more sense to stagger Jalen and Jason, because that's, you needed that shot creation with the bench unit just based on what you had talent wise. Now, if this team with Holiday and White developing and Porzingis here, you may not necessarily need that. And if Jaylen plays that much better with Tatum, then maybe you just roll with that and see what Porzingis and Drew and how White and company can do as your primary other, you know, bench unit.
I feel like there hasn't been, maybe I'm wrong about this, and maybe it's just, I'm not listening or reading the right stuff. I feel like, you know, people are writing articles. You know, I saw one from Washburn earlier today about how everyone is cohesively fixated on Banner 18 and like winning his first, all that, like, obviously. But I'm wondering, because you're so much closer to it than Evan and I are. I mean, you're there, you're in the locker room, you're there every day at practice, games, all of that. Just culture, right? Like, what does this look like? Clearly it's good, so I'm not like digging for something negative. I'm just wondering, you know, how it compares with Porzingis in, Holiday in, versus the Williams and Smart out. You know, what's the feel around the room and just this group versus what it was last year?
I think it's been, you know, it's surpassed my expectations so far in terms of, like, you think those are two, you know, big personalities that everyone loved in the locker room and Marcus and Grant. But I guess what's impressed me so far is, like, the Porzingis buy-in is, like, even far better. I didn't, like, you know, it's tough. Porzingis' track record in his career, he's had ups and downs, and he's never considered me first guy, but certainly not someone you know for his passing or, like, sacrifice, whatever. But he's, ever since he got here, he's really saying all the right stuff on that front, and his play on the court actually is backing it up to where it's, like, it's the one thing, like, yeah, like, it's fine. I don't care if I get 5 or 10 shots one night if I'm, like, you know, let other guys eat, if you will, or whatever the best matchup is. But he's kind of been leading into that and leading into, you know, hey, like, yeah, this is a rough loss, but we're going to learn from this. Like, this is, I'm like, you know, embracing the loss stuff. It's like, okay, like, this is, I mean, who knows? It's 3 weeks in. We'll see what we look like in, you know, the middle of a playoff series on this stuff. But, like, that's the stuff. For this to work, you need that from him. And Drew Holiday, there was never a question, like, what are you going, like, teammate of the year, like, 3 times. Like, I don't think anyone is surprised that he's able to come in here and, like, give them whatever they want. But Porzingis, to me, was the guy, like, okay, is he going to actually, like, you know, sacrifice himself for the state of the team and, like, do the, you know, the dirty work, if you will, with screening and all that stuff. And it seems like he is so far. And so that just raises this team a little. And then I think that has helped behind the scenes, locker room wise, being like, okay, everyone's bought in here. Everyone's on the same page. Like, you don't have to worry about that part of it. And that is, I think, translating into the start they've had so far.
Kaufman, look at this man. He has not stopped smiling since he got to Boston. This is with Abby Chin after the game against the Raptors. This has been permanently on his face since he got to Boston. He has looked like this every day. I think B-Rob's right on the money here. Getting Porzingis to buy in from minute one has been a huge lift for this team in terms of keeping the focus on the right thing. He's come in, he's like, we're, you know, and I think he said it really well, like, after this particular win against the Raptors, he's like, obviously we're not going to, you know, things aren't going to be as easy as they've been for us. Like, this is important for us to understand, like, yeah, we had some bad games, we can overcome those bad games and look great pretty quickly. And he's just, all the stuff that you hear from him, from everybody on this team, it's, if you're looking for focus, they've all said the right stuff ever since Drew Holiday got there. And it's really awesome to just hear everybody talk about, yup, you know, this is 1 of 82. We're going to keep building and building and building until we get to the playoffs. And, like, these games are, you know, good tests for us. You know, whether it's they win by 50 or they win by 2 or they lose on the road, like, they're learning lessons. The building blocks are there. It's been, again, I think probably a significantly less effortless start to the season than last year was in the year prior. This has been awesome.
A bigger picture thing for you, B-Rob, while we've got you a few more minutes. This in-season tournament is underway, obviously. People saw the new jerseys, the new courts across the league. When I say nobody, I don't mean people like yourself. I mean, the average fan, I don't think, has a clue how this works in terms of the standings and playing toward the in-season championship. And, you know, I sincerely hope that whichever team wins this freaking thing, there's a banner and a champagne bath and a bender for a week. Yeah, like, if we're going to pretend this is a thing, let's really make it a thing. Let's give guys, you know, medals if they're not going to get rings. But, I mean, let's really play it up. I see there are a whole bunch of people whole bunch of just, I won't name names, but there are people out there on social media that are talking about the, you know, praising Adam Silver for innovation. And if you don't create, there, blah, 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 blah. There's another expression to be, Rob, which is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't care. I don't think I'm even in the minority among people that don't care. I think the players themselves really don't care, because even the individual amount of money that they get if they win the thing, these guys, most of them anyway, certainly top half of rosters, make so much money that this is chump change. This is not, you know, motivating to, you know, they're going to alter their load management. They're going to play through something. They're like, we got to win this in-season banner. And it's, I'm not trying to be like Debbie Downer about the thing. I just think, I don't know. It's basketball doesn't need to be soccer. I'm glad it works for international soccer. That's wonderful. The NBA doesn't need it. You know, we don't need to just create new things to drum up more in-season interest when you don't have, I haven't seen, correct me if I'm wrong, please let me know if there's anyone within the Celtics that have spoken about this and I just missed it. I haven't seen anyone take on the role of like league ambassador talking about how great this is and how needed something like this was and how much fun it is. And this is a cool little wrinkle. And, you know, we can't wait to compete for this thing. And that the only interviews I've seen are players who are asked about it and them saying, yeah, I honestly don't even really get it or know how it works. So if that's what the players are saying, how are the fans or media like yourself supposed to feel about this thing?
Yeah. I think that's been by and large. The one guy who has been like a little more excited about the rest is Porzingis, because he has that European background of being like, okay, I've seen this in, I'm a soccer fan. Like, he's seen this over there. So he, you know, he's not going nuts over it, but when we talked to him about it last week, he was a little bit being like, oh yeah, I think it's going to work. Like, we'll see how it goes, but I think people get excited about it. But yeah, to your point, especially like the pool play games, like no one knows it's different. Like, the court is different, obviously, but that's the only thing that like, fans will see differently. The players won't be turning it on anymore. When we get to the knockout round, that's the part where I will be curious to see if we just see an extra level at that point, when there's like, okay, it's simple at this point. You win, you go on, and if you win three games, you're the title winner, and you get to go to Vegas to celebrate that. I think that's when they're hopefully banking on some real buzz coming through from, and obviously from a real interest from a player perspective in terms of intensity, in terms of emotion. And, but yeah, hey, if you're paying Pritchard or Sam Hauser, like, that's 25-30% of your salary if you win the tournament. So if you get to that week, like, those guys are going to be getting after it.
Peyton's got a fat new contract now.
He does too. But for this year, I think he's only making a couple $1 million or whatever. So the back in the roster, and for as much as these guys, you know, like the Tatum and the Browns of the world, they don't, you know, this is a drop in the bucket for them. Like, who's to say, like, you know, that's a bunch of money that they can, you know, give away to other staffers of the team and stuff like that. So they're going to be, I think they'll be, I'm curious to see, but I think they'll be pretty good buy-in from teams that have that kind of like a culture of knowing, like, you know, they're trying to win something bigger. They know this isn't going to matter in the big picture, but this is, hey, this is some reps for when it really counts, you know, 5 or 6 months down the line. So from that standpoint, like, I agree, like, you don't necessarily need it, but like, when you're going against the NFL and the dog days of the regular season, like, whatever, like, see what happens. Maybe they'll be a complete flop, but maybe it'll be, get some buzz for a week, and they'll like that too.
See, that's something I would like to see, and it probably won't happen. And I'm not even saying that in a judgmental way. It's human nature, right? Like, you get a fat check for 500 grand, you're going to keep it. But that would be like, that's good PR. That would be great for the league, for teams, for players. If, you know, let's just say, for the sake of playing this out, because this is this show, it is what it is. The Celtics go on, they win this tournament. All these guys get this money. Tatum, Brown, they certainly don't need it. Tatum's about to get, you know, he already has more money than he will ever know what to do with. And he's about to get a new contract that's going to pay him that much more, obviously. Brown, you know, $300 million man, like, let's see these players get this money and you know, they throw a couple $1 million toward Heather Walker's fund. You know what I mean? Like that That would be really interesting. That would be really good PR. That would be really good for the league of, okay, this isn't just money that's going in, you know, more money to the superstars' pockets, the rich getting richer, all of that. Now it's being distributed, like you said, given to staffers in a form or another. It's used differently than we ever hear about. And I'm not saying anyone is going to pressure anybody to do something like that, but that to me would be compelling.
Totally. It'd be cool. Like, whether it's charity, whether it's like give it to low levels, people like whatever, like staffers, et cetera, like that. I mean, I hope that becomes, you know, part of the equation here for whatever team wins. Like that'd be a cool, like you said, like compelling, like obviously good story. But yeah, like we'll see again, we'll see how this plays out. It'll be fast. Like again, I think if it's, you get some Cinderella, if you get some like Detroit Pistons or some other like rebuilding team that makes a run to the, like the Vegas or something like that, I think you'll get the March Madness NCAA component of it. It'd be like, oh, that's fun. But yeah, beyond that, if it's just boring teams and same old story, I don't think it's going to create much buzz.
Have anything to add before we let B-Rob go back to dad duty?
I think I'll piggyback off of B-Rob very quickly. This stage, people aren't going to care. As we get to the knockout stage, it'll become way more interesting. I think he's dead on about that. I think nobody cares right now because these games are like whatever. And then, especially for the C's, like their group isn't spectacular. Like,
exactly. There's no good games in there.
Yeah, like it's going to be whatever. But when they start to be like, if the Celtics don't make it to Vegas, I'm going to be pissed. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to be so pissed because look, you want to win the first one. Come on. Like I'll be into it once, like when these games really, really, really count. Like it's one thing I don't, maybe we get to this after B-Rob's gone, but Kaufman, I disagree with like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Something's clearly broke and they're at least trying to do something, but we'll maybe hold that for when B-Rob's gone.
Yeah, we'll do that at some, but well, look, I would like to care as this thing develops.
Yeah, but you gotta do something. Like there's clearly a problem with the NBA regular season. You have to do something. You can't just be like rolling it out there for the kajillionth time, 76 years now or whatever the NBA is now.
I don't have a problem with it. The problem with the regular season comes down to things like load management and
But they're not gonna like not play games. They're
getting scratched 3 seconds before the game actually starts, screwing up my DFS lineups. Are the things that I care about. I don't think like regular season games are allowed to just be regular season games. We don't need to make them any different. You know,
the rest stuff is bad. And Tatum said it. Tatum's like, you know, kids that come see me on a Monday night in Charlotte, like, I need to play for them because they buy my shoes.
Issue. That's not this in-season tournament nonsense.
Well, they're trying to make the more in-season more value. I will at least give them credit for trying to do something. Okay. You cannot continue down this path. You have to do something. Is this going to work? I don't know, but at least they're trying something.
You can catch B-Rob on, do we call it the Anything Is Potable podcast now?
It's still Potable,
right. Why do they keep changing their name? Why do they keep
rebrand? So yeah, they moved on from The Athletic. And they were not able to keep that exact name. So yeah, they pivoted. Exactly right. I mean, that is what it is. But now it's not anything about it. It's still Potable. PODDABLE. Still Potable. So yeah, I'll be, yep. So if you want to check that out for your daily phone weekdays, check us out there. And, obviously thanks as always for having me on, boys, and good to catch up.
Always. No, we really enjoy it. Check out all of B-Rob's great work over at Mass Live, as well as the Still Potable podcast daily with King and Jam, who clearly we need to have on the show at some point in time. We're going to be back with you, if not next weekend, then even sooner. That's me saying my alarm saying, all right, hurry up. Show's over. Okay. Thanks to Evan. Thanks to B-Rob. I am Adam. Rate, review, most importantly, subscribe to the show. We greatly enjoy it and appreciate it. And we will talk to you again next week. We'll see you then.